This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, this morning our prayer is that of the psalm. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning. Some of you are aware that I sent out an email and I just went through the contact list in my Microsoft Outlook and at random just chose some people that I sent this email to. So I wasn't trying to diss any of you. And I encourage people who did receive it to forward it to whoever you wanted. I was just looking for some informal feedback on a little survey I was doing for the sermon this morning. And for the sake of you who didn't receive that email, I'd like to share with you what I asked. I'm doing an informal survey for my sermon. If you care to participate, email me back with your short answer to this question. Who gave you the best advice as a young person that encouraged you to become all that you could be and encouraged you to reach for your dreams, who urged you not just to settle? And what was it they said to you that still sticks with you? Now, perhaps if you did not receive the email, you can reflect on that in your own life right now. But when I sent this out, I expected maybe four or five people would choose to respond. Well, I think I lost track at 40. And there's too many for me to share because Charles will be upset that the unplugged service will start late. However, I do want to share a representative sample with you because it ends up making the point that I thought the responses would. Let me just share some of these with you. The person who encouraged me the most was my mother. I always remember her saying, "All I ask is that you do your best." The person for me was the grandfather of one of my friends I grew up with. He taught me how to work, and somehow through osmosis, I learned the value of work. He was a man of a few words, not prone to offering words of chit-chatting when there was a job to be done. Even in his late 70s, he could work circles around us, and there was no such thing as a shortcut or a half-done job. He said, "Do it right or go home." I remember my mother telling me as a little girl to always try to do my best and reach for the moon. She said, "I may not reach the moon, but I am sure to reach a star." My dad told me, "If you want something, you have to work for it. If you're going to do something, do it right, or don't do it at all." My folks, always do the best you can do. My father, he was raising four daughters. He wanted us to know that we could do anything, be anything, dream anything that we wanted to as women. He empowered me by believing in me and encouraging me to never settle for less than I was capable of. He often told me that education was very important, but more importantly, he told me that I was important and that he was proud of me. My husband has often quoted his lawyer father. He was off to his freshman year at college. His father said, "You're going to have a lot of friends that want you to go out different nights of the week, 7 nights running. Make your choice and stick to it." To a young man who was focused on the wisdom of beer and billiards, his father's advice wasn't particularly well received at the time. But through the years, "make your choice and stick to it" has been applied to many situations, some serious, some frivolous. And as an aside, I'd like to say that's why we've been married as long as we have. My father gave me the best advice growing up. He encouraged me to be all that I could be, but to do it so that I'm independent of anyone else, to be self-sufficient and stand on my own two feet. My mom, she does it every day. She encourages me to do more and better things because I am not alone. I have a family. The person for me was my sixth grade reading teacher. I attended an experimental school where the students were placed according to ability in subjects. I was in the high school college level in reading, but the second grade in math. She impressed on me that there will always be something that I am better at than someone else, and someone else will always be better than me in something. The secret to succeed? Don't settle for mediocrity at things that I knew I was good at. My paternal grandmother. She always told me that God loved me and that he had put me on this earth for a special purpose. She told me I was beautiful and smart and strong and that I needed to look out for my dad, brother, and sister. Mine was an older, wiser friend who happened to be a priest as well, this person writes. It was during a hard time of struggle for me, and she told me that God didn't create me just to survive. God created me to thrive. My parents repeatedly told me to do my best and not be afraid to challenge myself. Even if the outcome was not as I wanted, I tried, and in my heart I would know that I did the best I could. My mother. She allowed each of the five children to pursue their own dreams and would not discourage us or stand in the way. My teacher. He had many sayings, such as, stand out, don't fit in. If you don't follow who you are, you forget who you are and become who you are not. The coward dies a thousand deaths. The greatest gift you can give someone is the gift of imperfection. Two people for me. My high school coach. I was playing right guard and he pulled me out and said, you can do much better. So I stopped messing around and concentrating on learning my part on the team and giving my all for everyone else. Secondly, my literature professor in prep school. I wrote a senior project on World War II. He gave it back and said I was capable of producing a better project. So I did, and became valedictorian of the class. My coach in middle school. He would always say, whatever you do, give it your best effort, more than 100%. There's nothing wrong with failure if you gave it your best effort. Then make sure you learn from your mistakes. This encourages risk-taking. You pick up a theme there? If you reflect in your own mind about such advice you might have received that encouraged you, I don't think there'd be one person that would say, well, this was really wise advice I got. Just be mediocre. Mix in. Protect yourself. Be safe. Those aren't the types of words that encourage. It is the people we remember who encouraged and urged us to become all that we could be, who challenged us, who affirmed who we were and who we could become. This is important for us. You might wonder, why did you do this? Look at the gospel today. Peter gives Jesus some really bad advice. This is the end of chapter 8 in Mark's gospel. There are 16 chapters in Mark's gospel. This marks the end of Act 1. At the end of this story, you expect the curtain to close, and it's time for intermission to go out and get some peanuts. And what does Peter need to understand? There isn't an easy way. Jesus is calling him and calling himself and calling us to more. Bob Buford wrote this beautiful book. If you've never read it, I recommend it to you, called Finishing Well. It's about when we're at that midpoint of our lives, whether we are 2 years old or 78 years old, about realizing that now is halftime. What do we want to do with the rest of our life? Take stock of what we are called to do and to be. And don't settle for mediocrity. It's not about success, it's about significance. And so what's going on here is Peter has seen all these things that Jesus is doing. We saw all the healings. The crowds are gathering. And now Jesus starts to think about going back towards Jerusalem, where he's going to be rejected, he's going to suffer, and he's going to die. And if that's going to happen to him, what about us? Peter wants him to take the easy way out. We're at Caesarea Philippi, this beautiful place. Let's go over to the ocean and let's just buy a condo there and sip margaritas the rest of our life. Aren't we glad Jesus didn't do that? 2,000 years later, look what he did by following the vision and the dream. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan, the root of that word, meaning the one who is an obstacle, who blocks the way. Some people even translate it the perverter, the one who changes the purpose or tries to change the purpose. I mean, look at Jesus' encounters with Satan. When he starts his ministry in the desert, here is this Satan trying to get Jesus to settle for the easy way out. Change these stones into bread, Jesus. You know, bow down and worship me, and all this is going to be yours. And Jesus rejects each of those easy way outs. Even the agony in the garden, the temptation that Jesus has at the end of his life. He ends up praying, "Father, take this cup away from me." But he adds, "Not my will, your will be done." He never takes the easy way out. We all have had or have people in our life who are not mean-spirited people, but there are voices from without and from within that will tell us, don't ruffle any feathers, don't make waves, just blend in, take it the safe way. Now, I'm not giving you advice for the stock market. It's about the way we choose to live our spiritual lives. That reading that we heard today, a huge blazing forest fire starts with a small flame. And he's talking about the tongue. So one of the things I think is our takeaway is, what are the ways in which we choose to encourage each other? When we look back at the words that we heard that encouraged us or did the opposite, how are we choosing to be in the same way? Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. He's not talking about those things that the world inflicts upon us. He's talking about when we choose this path to follow him, there's a unique cross for each of us, that there are going to be struggles. It is going to be work, but in doing so, we become all those things and all those people that all those people have told us we can be. And be encouragers as well. Father William and I and Paul Wegner were at this diocesan conference these past few days, and there weren't many takeaways, but there was one that I share with you, and that is a story that was told of a man who interviewed a lady who survived the Holocaust. She survived Auschwitz. And this was her story of advice she gives. She was 15 years old when they put her and her 8-year-old brother on the train to Auschwitz. As the older sister, She was always the one who was telling her little brother, putting him in line. He forgot his shoes that day. And so she looks down at him and says, "You forgot your shoes. Where are your shoes?" And with that, the two were separated. She survived the Holocaust. She never saw him again, and he died. You know what her advice is? We need to treat each time that we speak to someone as if it's the last word we're ever going to be able to speak to them alive. Are we encouraging each other? Are we calling each other to become that which we could be? And are we looking into our own hearts to see where God might be calling us at this halftime of our lives, no matter where we are, how old or young we are? How do we want to finish this thing out? Is it about success or significance? The choice is ours. Amen.